Good morning, church. Morning. And welcome, visitors, and some that feel like visitors. We're glad you're back. We're glad that you are back. It's good to see you today. It's good to see you. Today, we'll kind of go along the same way. Bill's going to lead us in singing, and Robert is going to guide our thoughts in our Lord's Supper. And so if you didn't get your supplies, raise your hand and I'll grab them for you. Anybody need communion supplies before we get going? I'll get you guys. All right, excellent. So we will get that going. And then at the end of our service, we'll have a time of announcements, prayer requests, and we'll just get to share. And then once we're all set, let's make sure we continue to keep your footage, your personal square footage. And then go outside for all of our talking and fellowship. I wanted to start this morning from Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. It is so amazing to follow a God that is so powerful, that takes such good care of us so as to remove fear and worry from every situation, so that we can actually do the things that he has called us to do. Now, the things that God teaches us, the things that he calls for our life to look like, would be absolutely ridiculous and scary if we did not trust him. If we could not trust God, then the things that he tells us to do, nobody would do. Because human nature would say, no, no, I can't do that. I have to look out for myself. I have to take care of myself. I have to protect myself. And yet Jesus comes in Luke chapter 6, verse 27. He calls us to such trust in the Father that he says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from the one who takes away your coat, do not withhold your shirt either. Give to everyone who begs from you. And from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. Those who are without God react to the evil that is done to them. Those who do not trust the Lord have evil done to them and they just return it. Those who do not trust the Lord, who do not have faith in Christ, say, if you're going to treat me a certain way, that's how I'll treat you. And Jesus says that is not how it's supposed to be. You treat other people how you wish that they would treat you. So we do not respond with evil for evil. We do not hit back. We do not get even. We trust God enough to say, Even if someone does not like me, even if someone does not love me, even if someone does not treat me right, I trust the Lord will treat me right, so I will treat everybody else right. What a call. What a world-changing call to love that God has given us. It's a powerful picture. And you know, because you've had to do this before, you've had to turn the other cheek. You've had to love your enemies. You've had to do good to people who have hurt you. And you know the power. It may have changed their lives. It may have changed their hearts. But if nothing else, it filled you with peace, because you trusted God enough to be faithful in your actions. That's world changing. Even if it just changes me, it's changed the world. So let's continue to be faithful. Let's continue to trust our Father. Let's continue to walk in the steps of Jesus. Let's go to our Father in prayer this morning, and then we shall offer up songs of praise. Heavenly Father, we thank you for drawing us together today in your holy name. We thank you for cleansing us in the blood of Jesus Christ so that we may approach your throne. to find mercy and forgiveness of our sins, to find grace and strength for each situation and for every day, to find guidance in the path that leads to you. Heavenly Father, we give you our lives. Father, we give you our sins. And we thank you for forgiveness. We give you our faith, as strong or as weak as it may be today. We give you our hope in that what you have for us today and for all eternity is better than what the world offers. Blessed be your name. Today, Father, we give you our hearts and our voices in spiritual sacrifice and song. We give you our faithfulness, our love, and our allegiance as we partake together of the meal of our Lord. We give you our ears, our eyes, and our hearts as we hear your word. Father, we thank you for your Spirit. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your eternal plans that will not be thwarted. We pray, Father, that each and every day we will trust you more. That each and every day we will walk closer to Jesus. That each and every day our lives will make a difference in this world. We ask, Father, that you remove fear from our hearts. We ask, Father, that you remove obstacles and idols that we have built up that need to be torn down. I ask, Father, this morning your blessings on those here. I pray, Father, that everyone here will realize what wonderful blessings you have poured out upon us in your Son, Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we gather together in faith. We gather together in your holy name, and we offer this prayer through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
Jesus is Lord, my Redeemer. How he loves me, how I love him. He is risen, he is coming. Lord, come quickly. Sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble. on the brink of any earthly woe that will not murmur or complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger darkness feels no doubt. Lord, give us such a faith as this, and then whatever may come, we'll taste in here the hallowed bliss of an eternal home. 538. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils his lovely face, I rest on his unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. His oath is covenant, his blood, support me in the whelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Number 129. This will be our song before prayer. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind. Grace that taught my heart. to fear, and grace my fears relieve. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we know less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we are so thankful for the opportunity, the freedom that we have to assemble and worship you, the true and living God, and the joy that we share with one another in praising your name in song and through prayer, Lord, and hearing a portion of thy word, that it gives us strength to get through the day, through the week, the months, and the years. And Father, we pray that our life here on earth is a shining example to glorify your name, that others can see your son Jesus living in us. And Father, we thank you for that great sacrifice of your son, for the sacrifice that Jesus made for each one of us on the cross of Calvary, that he took our sins and nailed them to that cross, and there he suffered and bled and died for each one of us. And Father, we're so grateful that in the joy and the faith that we have in your word, that you raised him from the dead so that we have that hope of eternal salvation with you in heaven. And Father, it is our hope and our faith that lies on your son, Jesus Christ, for the life that he lived here on earth and the example that he left for us to follow. We pray, dear Lord, that we follow in his footsteps daily, that we reach out into the world and show them the love that you have for all of your children. Father, we thank you for your love and your mercy and your grace in all things. For without you, we are nothing. And Father, we ask you that when we stumble and fall and we fail you, that you forgive us of our trespasses, that you grant us your strength and your wisdom and your insight, that we not to follow in the example or the footsteps of the evil one on this earth. And Father, that you forgive us when we don't do what we need to be doing. And Father, we ask you to remove Satan from the earth and all the evil that is among us. Father, help us to focus upon your word. Help us to focus upon the empty tomb and the cross where our hope lies. Father, we pray that you continue to be with Rex and Becky and others that are needing our prayers on their behalf, that we're not aware of at this time, that you strengthen their bodies, take away their pain and discomfort so that they can go about and continue their daily activities. And Father, we pray that you be with the Jones family and the Taylor family during their time of loss and sorrow. And we pray that you give them a feeling that they know that you are in, that they are in your loving arms, and that you are surrounding them with love and peace. Father, there are those that we're not aware of that may be suffering difficulties and troubles in life, and we pray that you touch their hearts and their minds and their spirit to give them hope. We pray for those that are traveling on the roads and journeys through this time, and we pray that they have a safe trip to reach their destinations. And Father, we thank you for your blessings of care upon us and for the rain that we have received for answering our prayers. We are truly thankful. Now, Father, be with us as we continue to worship you, the true and living God. Continue to live in us and give us our strength that we need each day. These things we ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
When my love to Christ grows weak, when for deeper faith I seek, then in thought I go to thee, Garden of Gethsemane. There I walk amid the shades, while the lingering twilight see that suffering in memory of the Savior's love, we keep the sacred feast, where every humble, contrite heart is made a welcome guest. By faith we take the bread of life, which our souls are fed, the cup in token of his blood that was for sinners shed. Beneath his banner thus we sing the wonders of his love, and here anticipate by faith the heavenly feast of
I want to read from Luke 22, starting at 18. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup that is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. I want to read from John 14:25. These things I have spoken to you while I am still with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world goes, as gives, did I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. We always think about Christ was hung on the cross. But thank God that wasn't the end of the story. Jesus died on the cross, but the Father raised him. And without that resurrection, we would have no hope. And I think part of remembering who Jesus is, what he did, how he lived, his perfect life, and giving up his life and his blood for us, that we need to remember who we are, that we are children of God. We go by the name Christian, which means Christ-like. We need to live up to the calling that we have been called to. So it's not only remembering what Jesus did, but we remember how we should act in our daily lives also. I hope I'm not off base on these thoughts, but I remember when the kids were growing up, sometimes, well, everybody's doing it. Well, you're a park, or you're a Bigham. We don't act that way. Well, God tells us you have a higher calling than the world. We have to live in the world, but we have to live above the world. We can't have the same morals. We can't have the same speech, the same actions. We need to emulate Christ in his life, that he treated everyone with love and kindness. He didn't see colors. He only saw a soul that needed saving. Let's pray. Our dear Father, we love you so much. You allowed your only begotten Son to be separated from you, to come here and live a humble life, a perfect life, a life that we can emulate and pattern our lives after, that he always treated people with love, with kindness. Help us, Father, remember the blood that was shed on the cross to wash away our sins. Help us remember that you raised him on the third day and later took him back to heaven to be with you. Father, help us to live our lives in a way that is pleasing to you. Help us partake of this bread and this blood in a way that's pleasing to you. Help us live up to the calling that you have called us to. Help us be children that you are proud of. Help us to know the good that we do is Christ living in us and not us doing good. In Jesus' name, amen. Our dear Father, we thank you for this opportunity that we have to partake of the Lord's Supper. You knew that we are a forgetful people. We see how many times the Israelites forgot you and went back into the world. And sometimes we do the same thing. Help us remember who we are and who you are, that you're our Father, that Jesus is our Savior, that when we have Jesus, we have everything. Help us to partake of this blood in a manner that's pleasing to you. We thank you for this honor and privilege and responsibility of being a Christian. We love you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you would, mark your books, number 915, 915, be our song of invitation.
Thou art the way to Thee alone. From sin and death we flee. And he who would the Father seek must seek Him, Lord, by Thee. Thou art the truth, Thy word alone, true wisdom can impart. Thou only canst instruct the mind and trust in Thee, nor death nor hell shall harm.
All right, let's go to our Father in prayer so that we can hear His word. Our Father in heaven, as your children, we need your guidance. We pray that today, at this time, right now, that we hear you speak. We pray, Father, that you empower our lives. We pray, Father, that our decisions and our actions are directed by your Spirit and not the flesh. We pray, Father, that our lives will bring you honor and will please you. Father, we need your help every day in this. We know we fall short. We know we miss the mark. And we are grateful for your mercy. We are grateful for your tenderness. And we are grateful for your redirection. Father, help us be more faithful today than we were yesterday. Help us strive to be with you. We love you, and we thank you for hearing our prayers. We offer them in Jesus' name. Amen. I think it's fairly easy to say that the world can be a complicated place. And the world tempts to overwhelm us with all that it has going on. And you know yourself, and I know myself, when we are overwhelmed by things around us, we have, you know, a few different reactions. Sometimes when we're overwhelmed by life, we just kind of shut down. Sometimes it's just too much. We just can't handle it anymore, and so we just kind of retreat within ourselves. Sometimes when things overwhelm us in the world, we lash out. We get frustrated that it tends to frustrate us and anger us, and so we just kind of, we attack externally. You know, in one way or the other, we all fall in one of those two camps. We either do destruction here or we do destruction there. This is a great time to be reminded how simple the Christian life is. How simple it is to do what God has called us to do. Two things we're going to see this morning. We are called to please God and to follow Jesus. That's it. That's it. Now, the great thing about those two things is they're very closely tied together. Pleasing God and following Jesus. We're going to see from our text this morning that how they work together, but they really are two things that can't be taken apart. But the great thing about them is they simplify all of our decisions. Every decision that you and I have to make, I have to decide what will please God and where is Jesus in this decision. And if I keep that in front of me, if I keep that as my guiding light, I'm going to find all of the blessings that God allows me here in this life and in all eternity. Turn your Bible to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we learn this lesson. Peter writes about these two things in his letter to the church. And it's great to hear this lesson from Peter because we can go back to the Gospels and see how Peter had to learn these difficult lessons. And so when we see the difficult things that he went through to get to this point, we can better appreciate where we are on our journey of faith and how well we are following Jesus. So when you hear these words, remember this is the same Peter that was bold enough to step out of the boat and walk toward Jesus on the water. And yet at the same time, he was the same one that took his eyes off of Jesus and focused on the wind and the storm. And he started to sink. And again, Jesus grabs him by the hand and says, "Where'd your faith go? You were doing so well. Why did you look away?" And again, at the end of John's gospel, we hear about it when Peter is restored by Jesus, because Peter's, of course, also the one who stood up with boldness and said, "You know, Lord, all of these clowns, they may stop following you, but not me. Not me, Lord. I'll never fall. I'll never stumble. I'll never say no to you. I'll never do the wrong thing. I'm your guy. You can count on me." And then, of course, Jesus tells him the sad news. "Well, Peter, you see, before this night is up, you're going to be the worst of them." What? No. Peter denies our Lord three times. The rooster crows. They make eye contact across the courtyard. Peter just thinks, "Well, that's it. I failed him. I let him down. I mean, he gave me one job. I messed it up." And then when Jesus shows up again in his resurrected form, he goes to Peter and they're sitting there at the end of John's gospel. And of course, Jesus asks him three times, "Peter, do you love me?" And after everything is good and Peter knows he's forgiven, Peter starts to look around. "Hey, Lord, what about him? I mean, he just got restored. Jesus just said, 'I forgive you. You keep on doing what you're supposed to do.' Okay, all right. Well, what about them? What are you going to do with them? How are they supposed to respond?" And Jesus, of course, gives that famous response. "If I want him to stay alive until I return, it's none of your business. You follow me. That's the Peter. That's the Peter who writes the lesson that we're going to hear today. He learned how to keep his eyes on Jesus. He learned how to please God with his life and to totally trust everything that Jesus is doing. So let's pick it up in 1 Peter chapter 3, because now he's going to turn back around and share the lessons he's learned with the church. Starting in verse 8, he says, "Finally, all of you have unity of mind, sympathy, brotherly love, a tender heart, and a humble mind. Do not repay evil for evil or reviling for reviling, but on the contrary, bless, for to this you were called, that you may obtain a blessing. For whoever desires to love life and see good days, let him keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. Let him turn away from evil and do good. Let him seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil." So Peter reminds us, and we know this to be true, the world deals with us, and even itself, in very harsh ways. That's what the world does. And it seems like today the world is just in a race to consume itself, to destroy itself. And that's how the world deals with us. In fact, Peter uses words like evil, reviling, deceit. These are words that describe how the world acts. And those bad things tempt to overcome us. And one of the worst things is the ways that the world acts against us tempt us to come down to their level and treat them in the same ways. But the path of Jesus, following Jesus, and Peter shows us and reminds us, the path of Jesus, really, church, it just doesn't become hardened. Because the world, whether it's fear, anger, hatred, lust, murder, think of all the sins. The world wants your heart to be hard, cold, callous, not considering others, just making sure that you're taken care of. That's what the world tempts us to do. If I can get you scared enough, then you'll only think about yourself. If I can get you mad enough, then you'll only think of yourself. If I can distract you and give you enough whistles and bells and toys, you'll only think about yourself. But the path of Jesus, look at the words he uses for that. Our hearts are to be tender. We are to be sympathetic. That's where we find the blessing. Not always hard for us to hear the way of following Jesus described in such what we would traditionally call feminine terms, right? Wait, how am I going to be a man of God, put on the full armor of God, and be tender? How am I going to be strong in my faith and be sympathetic? Well, isn't that how Jesus was? Isn't that exactly how he was? He was tender to everyone he met. He provided what people needed. He met them where they were. You think about all the stories and all the things that he provided, and he was tender enough to not condemn the woman caught in sin. Tender enough to say, "I'm not here to condemn. I'm not here to judge. I'm here to save." He was sympathetic enough so that when someone touched his cloak, his coat, his power went and healed them from years of affliction. He was sympathetic enough that when someone came and said, "Look, I have a child who's sick or who's dead, will you please do something?" He was sympathetic enough to reach out, to heal, to raise, to save. Church, if we're going to follow Jesus, we've got to make sure that evil, reviling, and deceit are not where we live. We've got to make sure that tender and sympathetic and blessings, that that's where we were. He says, in fact, there in verse 9, you were called to bless. You were called to bless. So every day as you follow Jesus, you have to understand that the calling that Jesus has put on your life is to be a blessing to others. That is so different from the world. The world says, chase it, find it, grab it, hold on as tight as you possibly can, and do not let go or lose any of it. Right? Jesus says, this is my Father's world. It's all yours. Be generous. Well, that's different. And that's where the blessings come. Let's continue in verse 13. He says, now, who's there to harm you if you're zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. So have no fear of them, nor be troubled. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil. If you're doing good things, normally people will not stop you or get in the way. I miss those days, don't you? Right? What nostalgia. You just do good things, you live a good life, you're just a good person. People say, wow, I really look up to that, I really respect that, I really appreciate that. And Jesus says, if you're zealous to do good, if that's what you want to do, is to do good in everyone's eyes, to help other people, to be kind to them, to do what is right for them, who's going to get in your way? Who's going to stop you? Who's going to hurt you? He says, but even if they do hurt you for doing good, you're still blessed. You know as well as I do what gets you hurt for doing good, right? You do good for someone else and you just say, hey, let me get that door for you. Let me carry that thing. Or let me be nice to you. That doesn't get you hurt, does it? No. What gets you hurt is, let me be nice to you and do good to you. Well, why would you do good to me? Well, let me tell you. That's where you get hurt, isn't it? That's why Peter connects them. Peter connects our doing good to sharing the hope that is in the heart for why we do good. I can be a nice guy all day long, right? I can go to Walmart and I can see someone who's going to their car, and I can say, hey, don't worry, I'll put that cart up for you. As Sonny was telling me the other day that there was a woman who was going to her car and she had dropped one of her crutches. And Sonny said, I wanted to just go and help her and pick up her crutch, but then I thought, well, is she going to get mad at me for touching her crutch? Right? And so that thought was in there. We can do good and nice things all day long for everybody around us. And that's probably not going to get you into any trouble. No guarantees. But Peter goes on to say, look, you need to provide an answer for the hope. Why would you want to do something nice for me? Have you seen the world around us today? It's every man for himself, every woman for herself. No one has room to be kind. No one has room to actually treat others nice. We need to walk around in fear. We need to walk around covered, and we just need to just do our business and just hope no one stops us or talks to us or gets in our way. Why would you be nice? He says, you follow Jesus. You have hope in your hearts. So you be ready to share that. Now that may get you in trouble, right? Got Jesus in trouble. He fed the crowds and they were like, hey, thanks for lunch. He goes, you need to stop living for lunch. You need to stop living for eternal food that the Father provides. So you better get on board with what he's doing. We were happy with lunch. And they got mad at him. Right? That's what got Jesus in trouble. It didn't get Jesus in trouble when he raised from the dead, when he healed a broken body, when he did a kind thing to someone who was hurting or destroyed physically. That's not what got him in trouble. What got him in trouble? Oh, hey, you broke our religious laws. Hey, you're working on the Sabbath. Hey, who do you think you are touching that unclean person? Hey, why are you hanging out with those Gentiles? Why are you doing all those things? And Jesus properly explained to them, hey, you need to get on board with what God's got going on. And that's tough to say to some people, isn't it? It's tough to look at somebody and say, hey, your life, you need to get on board with what God's got going on. Because you're not headed in a good direction. Who do you think you are? Now that's when it gets dangerous. He says, but even if you suffer for doing good, God's blessings are right there. Isn't that good news? If we actually follow Jesus, if we are actually living our life to please God, God's blessings are going to cover us. Might it be painful? Might it be difficult? Might it cause us trouble in this world for a temporary short time? Yes, it might. Did it cause Jesus trouble in this world to please the Father? Sure did. Sure did, but he didn't stop. He didn't fear. He faced it. The good news is, if we suffer, we're in very good company. Let's continue in verse 18. For Christ also suffered once for sins, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit, in which he went and proclaimed to the spirits in prison, because they formerly did not obey, when God's patience waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is, eight persons, were brought safely through water. Baptism, which corresponds to this, now saves you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who has gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authorities, and powers having been subjected to him. Jesus Christ allowed himself to suffer, even to die, to bring us to God. Now, church, if we are following Jesus this week, if we are looking to please God, and so many of us, and so much of Christianity becomes what we make of it is, okay, Lord, just give me the strength to avoid bad things, to stay away from sin, and treat people nice. Right? Yeah, that's kind of the Christian path that we choose. It's, might I call it Christ adjacent? It's like the, you know, the access road to the loop? Like, you're on the loop, and then you're on the access road to the loop, right? We got Garrett wheels this week. It's a 5-speed. So Garrett's first car is a standard. Now, for most of you, that's no big deal. Yeah, well, standard. Garrett's learning to drive a standard. Mom won't get in the car with him yet. But Dad takes his rightful place in the passenger seat, handle gripped. And he did one of the most difficult things you can do in Lubbock, Texas. We pulled out of the parking lot onto the access road of the loop right around Slide. While he's driven a standard for about 2 or 3 days. I said, okay, bud, you gotta make sure it's clear. You got to get out really fast. You got to not kill it. And you got to get it in the correct lane and then get up to speed as fast as you can. Yeah. We hadn't even got on the loop yet. We are loop adjacent. And I'm just going, and we survived. He did it. We survived. And church, I'm afraid that so many of us live our Christian lives loop adjacent. Jesus adjacent. What I mean by that is the path that Jesus walks and lives each and every day is to say, I am willing to make myself uncomfortable all the way to the end. I am willing to pay the price to bring you back to God. For a good man, one might die. But Jesus shows his love for us in that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. So this week, as you're following Jesus, church, it's time for us to get on the path. It's time for us to get off the access road and actually get on the loop. That's where all the fun is. That's where all the action is. See, loop adjacent, Christ adjacent is, okay, I've avoided the sin. I'm staying away from the bad and I'm doing the good. Excellent. Now go be sacrificial. It's like what we read, the words of Jesus from Luke chapter 6 that we began with this morning. He said, hey, the sinners love their friends. Sinners would allow themselves to be put out, to be inconvenienced for someone they love, someone they like. But Jesus takes it a step beyond and realizes that guess what? It is my love for you that's actually going to break your heart. Not my call for you to be righteous. Me going around telling you, well, you need to be like this and you need to be like this and you need to be like this or God's not going to be happy with you. Instead, what's the message of Jesus? Hey, look, you're broken. Your life's filled with sin. You know why you don't have God's blessings? You're a mess. You're a wreck. But guess what? That can change. Let me tell you about what Jesus did for you. That's getting on the loop. That is going from Christ adjacent to actually walking and following in the footsteps of Jesus. And that one might get you in trouble. That one might get you in trouble. Jesus said, there is no other name in heaven or under heaven by which we must be saved. And that is a very polarizing statement. In fact, the things that Jesus said and did were very polarizing. They are no less so today. He says, but Christ suffered. And he did it to bring you to God. So when you're struggling with, am I going to be evil or bitter or reviling? Or am I going to be tender-hearted and share a blessing with others? To be like Jesus means you look at people and say, this is not an evil person that needs to be defeated. This is a broken, dead person that needs to be brought to life with the gospel of Jesus. And see, when we view other people around us in the same way that Jesus views us, then our life and any pain and suffering and sacrifice we might have to make on their behalf is worth it. Is worth it. Chapter 4, verse 1. Since therefore Christ suffered in the flesh, arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. For whoever has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, so as to live for the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for human passions, but for the will of God. For the time that is past suffices for doing what the Gentiles want to do, living in sensuality, passions, drunkenness, orgies, drinking parties, and lawless idolatry. With respect to this, they're surprised when you don't join in the same flood of debauchery. They malign you, they make fun of you, but they will give account to him who is ready to judge the living and the dead. For this is why the gospel was preached even to those who were dead, that though judged in the flesh the way people are, they might live in the spirit the way God does. So, here it is. Peter gives it to us right here. Verse 1. Same way of thinking. Arm yourselves with the same way of thinking. Think like Jesus. And then, verse 2. Live for the rest of the time in the flesh for the will of God. Do the will of God. So he began this section of his letter, and he brings this into this section of the letter with the same idea. Think like Jesus and do the will of God. It's very simple. It's very simple. Now, it's harder to put into action, as you know from last week, and the week before, and this coming week, whatever challenges you may face, but it's very simple. The mind of Christ. See, the time past is long enough for all the sin that we were involved in. We've wasted, each and every one of us, we've wasted enough days doing it wrong. We've wasted enough of our lives trying to do it ourselves. The time for that's over. So now, those of us who think the same way as Jesus, how do we think the same way as Jesus? We've died to ourselves. We've died to ourselves. It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. Our goal is Christ, is it not? We want to see Him, right? We want Him to be pleased with us. I mean, aren't you ready for those amazing words? Well done, good and faithful servant. That's what we want. That's our goal. Our goal is just, okay, Lord, this life is over, and I'll be just with You. And it'll be great. It'll be awesome. It'll be easy. That's our goal. But see, how we get there, we follow Jesus. We have the same way of thinking. It's no longer I who live. Someone wants to treat me bad, guess what? It's not me that they hurt. It's Jesus. It's no longer me that they make fun of. It's Jesus. Guess what? His shoulders are strong enough to handle it. His strength and power is mighty enough to handle it. So we have the thinking of Jesus. We died to ourselves. So what do? We do the will of God. Church, if we want to find the blessings of God, if we want to experience and enjoy all that God has to offer, then we'll change our way of thinking into making Christianity a little less than Christ. Because it's such a great start. It's such a great start saying, I'm going to be a good Christian. How? Well, I'm going to be nice and I'm going to avoid sin. That's an awesome start. But you know what? The access road to the loop is probably more dangerous than the loop. Right? Yeah. Thinking that we're following Christ, I'm avoiding the sin and I'm very nice to people when they're nice to me. That's a very dangerous place to live. Because that's not really faith. That's not really following Jesus. Following Jesus says, I'm getting on. I'm all in. I have the same way of thinking as Jesus did. Jesus trusted the Father all the way to the end. Jesus was willing to say, Lord, I'll go down there. I'll leave my place of glory and honor and respect. And I will humble myself and become like one of them. And I won't do it by throwing myself off the temple so everyone goes, oh, this must be the Son of God. In fact, when he would show his power, what'd he do? What's the biggest thing Jesus said when he did something great the majority of the time? Shh. Shh. Don't tell anybody. Jesus, I want to follow you. I can't believe this is so amazing. I mean, I was filled with all of these demons. My life was a mess. Let me follow you. Let me walk in your steps. You go tell your family. Because all these people out here making fun of you, they don't really care. You go tell the people that love you. You start there. You start right there and you tell them what God has done for you. Yay! He made me nice. No. He made you alive. Because you were dead in your trespasses and sin. You were nothing. And Jesus brought you out of that and made you alive and made you whole. And church, if we're going to make a difference in this world, if we are truly going to follow in the steps of Jesus, we are going to look at people around us not as those who need doors held open for them, not as those who need more nice, but those who need Jesus. It's a big difference, isn't it? It's a world of difference. It absolutely is. So, let's trust the Father. Because when we keep our eyes on Him, guess what? Same God doesn't let you sink. Same God that's in the boat with you. So when the storms and the wind blows and the waves crash against it and you look around and go, I don't know how we're going to get out of this. Same God. Jesus looks at you and goes, come on. God's not going to get you in the boat to shipwreck you. It's not what He does. He's going to take care of you. He's going to look after you. So if you have to suffer like Jesus, hey, you're in good company. You read through the book of Acts how many times that the disciples were imprisoned, were beat up, were lied about. And when God rescued them, what'd they do? Woo! Not because they were happy to be out, because for them, out, in, didn't matter. They were still praising God, were they not? They were still telling people about Jesus, whether they were free to go into the, synagogue. Whether they were free to go in the synagogue and tell people about Jesus, or they were shackled next to someone who'd broken the law, and they're still saying, hey, you know what? We're all here together tonight. The Lord has brought us here. We should sing some songs. What do you say? Didn't matter. But when God delivered them, what did they rejoice over? God thinks so much of me that He allowed me to follow Jesus. Wow. Wow. Church, that's how much God thinks of you. That's how much God thinks of you. Please Him. Follow Christ. If you're not there this morning, it's time. It's time. If you're not a Christian, make your appeal in baptism. If you are a Christian, it's time to get on the on-ramp, okay? Because we can only dance around the access road for so long. It's time to get to it. It's time to get to it. If you're walking with Jesus, He's going to give you opportunities this week to do exactly that. Be prepared. Be prepared. If you need to respond for anything this morning, let us know. Let's stand together and sing.
When we walk with the Lord,
trust and obey.
I know we've got some that some that we're lifting up for physical things, and some that we talked about last week. But I just wanted to start with the elders have decided to open up for Wednesday nights. So I don't know if we will put it online anymore. I'll just kind of leave that up to Ben, to whether he's going to record Wednesday nights, because he does all of the recording. So it may just switch to an audio thing, because I know how to do that myself. And I can just turn that on and he can get it out there. But our Wednesday nights, usually it'll still just be, you know, just the way it is now. We still need to sit with our family and kind of keep apart, but we'll be able to clean between Sunday and Wednesday, and then clean again between Wednesday and Sunday. So we'll start that this week. So 7 o'clock Wednesday evening, we'll be back here. So if you can join us for that, for midweek, and I think it's a great thing, because it will allow us to worship together and to catch up with each other and really just let us see each other and be who we need to be. So I am very excited for that announcement. I know that Rex is supposed to start his treatments tomorrow. His surgery tomorrow. I have not Lisa's mom, not Lisa Villegas, Lisa Sanders' mom was supposed to have her shoulder surgery this week. I haven't heard any specifics. We also heard that Megan Barnett went to the doctor Friday. I have not heard any news. I don't know if anyone else has. But he was asking, Oren was asking for prayers, but didn't hear any update or anything from that. Let's see. Enoch is still the 13th, so that's coming up with his surgery this week. And Augie got to go home this week. So as difficult as that is, we are grateful for that peace and that gift. So just continue to remember their family in our prayers and the holes in their heart. Richard and his treatments doing well. Okay. Is Greg doing any better? Maybe a little. Just, oh, okay. Okay. You said it's moved to Wednesday? Okay. And Madison got to go home from the hospital. And I know Chris Parker's flying home from Alaska. He's supposed to get home this afternoon. He's been up there for 2 weeks, so he's supposed to get home this afternoon. It's good to see Fern and Burley with us today. Good to see the Elams with us today. Good to see some extended Bighams. I'm glad you gal, could be here with us. It's good to see you. Let's also remember, we got a lot of teachers and kids that are getting ready to go back and whatever that looks like. So just keep all of them in your prayers for school getting back. What else is it? Yes, Norma Jones passed. She had a stroke and passed away. Linda, was it Friday or Saturday morning? Friday. And so they're going to have a service for her at 5 o'clock at the church in Wolforth. So that'll be today at 5 o'clock. So we'll just remember Ed in our prayers and his family. What else? Yes. Yeah. Gary Cash. He had surgery this last week, and then Dale, he's going through treatments. Gary's going through treatments. He will be. Okay. All right. So recovering. He kind of had to get through the planting season or get through everything. And so he finally got that done. So we'll. Rita, did you find out anything?
Yeah, it's next Friday.
Next? Like this coming Friday?
No, the 21st.
Okay, the 21st. Okay, all right. All right, so Rita has got the 21st to get in to see the doctor. Okay. Yes. Yeah, and remember Sunny. She starts this afternoon for her week and a half, 2 weeks of RA training, which is really, we'll see her in September. But that is, I got the opportunity Wednesday to speak to the LCU staff, and those are the year round workers. And I said, I know you're, it's the start of the school year and all the professors will come in tan and rested and face all this stuff. And you've been kind of toiling away to get ready for everything. So there's just so much going on for kids, you know, moving away from their families and moving into dorms, and for our little ones going back to school and figuring out what all that's going to look like. So for all of us, be faithful and fluid. That's how I'm facing it. It is as fast as they're liking to change everything. Just be faithful and fluid. Yes?
I would like to pray for our granddaughter, Chloe.
Okay.
She's in Belton for the university.
Okay.
And she almost didn't even have a place to live because there was a glitch. And they had to find her a house to live in yesterday because they forgot. They had her money, but they didn't have her stuff. And then I would also like to pray some more for Terry. I think she's doing really well, and I would just like to see her doing better every day. And then I would like to pray for Tawana, Andrea, and Alicia. It was glad to see them come home last weekend to visit, and maybe they're coming back, I think, a little bit. Alicia really needs you. She needs God more than ever. It was really bad for her and rough for her. And she had, what do they call it when they don't eat? She stopped eating. And she lost a lot of weight. It was really bad. But she's starting to get better. She just needs God, and she knows it, and at least now they're talking to us again. So that's a good thing. Okay? And their last name is Stanley now, because their dad lost his parole on rights, and so he made them change their name.
Okay. Anybody else? Okay. All right, well, let's pray together. Let's lift these up. And, yeah, let's do that. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for drawing us together in your holy name. We thank you for the gift of your presence today. Lord, that's the most important thing. You allowed us to draw near, to be close to you, to be close to each other. We pray, Father, that you fill us with faith and hope and strength for today, for this coming week, for however long we have in this world. Father, we ask that you increase our faith. We ask, Lord, that we will live our lives to bring you glory, that we will be brave enough to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. Father, when we're faced with a choice, I pray that you give us your answer. Lord, our desire is that you are the number one thing in our lives, in our families, in our church, in the world. And our desire is to see the day of Jesus coming on the clouds. Our desire is to see every knee bow and every tongue confess. And Lord, we have bowed our knee. We have confessed with our tongue that Jesus Christ is Lord. So give us the strength to live our confession this week. Father, we lift up those that need you and those that are suffering. We ask that you be with all those that have surgeries. We ask that you be with Rex tomorrow. We pray that his surgery will go well. We pray that it is a blessing to his health. We pray that you be with Enoch as he has his surgery this week, that you be with Brooklyn as she has her surgery this week, and we just ask your blessings upon them. Father, we pray for peace. We know that understanding will be difficult to find, but we pray that faith and peace will fill the hearts of Augie's family. We just pray, Lord, that they know that you are with them. Father, we are very grateful that his pain is over. We are very grateful that you have healed him in the ultimate way. Please watch over Chris as he comes home. Give him a safe journey. Father, we pray that you be with Rita and just give her peace in her heart as she waits for her appointment. And we just pray, Lord, that even until then, that you work healing in her body, that you work for good in her. Heavenly Father, we pray that you provide Madison what she needs and that you just restore her body and answers would be great, but just fixing her would be greater. So please work in her for good. We are grateful that Bill and Kathy are back in town safely. We're grateful that Fern and Burley are back with us, and we're grateful that Kevin and Donna are back with us, that Robert and Janet are restored, and we're grateful for Sean and his family being with us today, and we just pray that you watch over them as they go back home. Watch over Steve and Sherry as they go to Dallas and help take care of their family. Lord, we pray that you watch over us as we head back to school, our teachers, our kids, our parents, everybody. We pray that it go well. Father, we lift up this country, and we know that the way things are going is really not pleasing to you, Lord, but we are yours and we are here. And we just pray, Father, that you watch over our leaders. We pray, Lord, that you will break their hearts to do what is right, that you will guide them, Lord, that they will make decisions that are good for everyone that they are responsible for. We lift up the Jones family and we ask your blessings to be upon them. Watch over Ed. Just be with their kids right now. Heavenly Father, excuse me, we ask that you be with Gary as he recovers from his surgery. We pray that you be with Connie so that her treatments will be a blessing to her health. Watch over Carl and Chloe as they move into their dorms. Help them to make good decisions and walk in your light. We lift up Sunny and we just pray that she work by your strength, that you provide her what she needs to help her campus leaders to get ready for a new school year. We ask that you watch over Terry. We thank you for the good that she's experiencing, and we ask that you just give her, just help her to do better every day. We lift up Tawana, Andrea, and Alicia, and we just pray that you guide their steps back to you. Father, we love you. We love you so very much. We're grateful for your blessings. We're grateful for your love. We end our time together in Jesus' name. We end this prayer together in Jesus' name. And we walk forward following you in Jesus' name. Amen.